If you have your Bibles with you, if you could join me in Acts 2. Acts 2, verses 42 and 47. It's the verses that we'll be looking at today. We're very familiar. We've looked at these in different ways today, but we're looking at the community of who we have been called to be as followers of Christ, a community, a covenant. And we're going to see how God works through that today. But you'll see it on the board behind me as well. But in Acts 2, verses 42, let's pray. Father in heaven, as we read your word, I pray that you'd open up our hearts, our minds, Lord, our spirits, all that we are, Lord, and may we, Lord, fulfill the things of your word. But it says in Acts 42, remember the context here is Jesus, or not Jesus, Peter has preached the gospel. And that there is the Holy Spirit has been poured out, and the result is 3,000 souls have been saved. And it says in 42, it says they. This is the new church. They've gone from about 120 in the upper room to now they're at 3,120. I mean, this is God has done a work, and it says they were continually. These 3,000 souls, they continually devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone kept feeling a sense of awe, and many wonders and signs were taking place through the apostles. And all those who had believed were together and had all things in common. And they began selling their property and possessions and were sharing them with all as one might have need. Day by day, continuing with one mind in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they were taking their meals together with gladness and sincerity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord was adding to their number day by day those who were being saved. This is what we're looking at today. This is the goal of every congregation throughout the world is to be a community of covenant, a community of faith, a community for God. Acts 2, 42 through 47, we just read that verse, and what we see in this community of people that we just read about, again, we see that God has changed their lives, that the Holy Spirit at Pentecost filled the disciples, the apostles, and they go out and they are sharing the Word of God. They are sharing the gospel. They're speaking in all the languages of the people present there. And then we see Peter gets up and he shares the gospel. He shares the Word of God through it and all the Old Testament prophecies of what they said about Jesus Christ. He shared the story about Christ. We see the Spirit moved and we see 3,000 people saved and we see the church being born. We see in Matthew 13 that Jesus says, I will build my church. And he says, I'm going to build my church on the foundation of faith of who he was as our Messiah. And so we see it coming to life here in Acts 2, and we see what is happening here. We see the fulfillment of what God has been doing since the very beginning. We see this covenant of faith in Christ. Again, with what something that God started in the beginning. If you remember, God in the beginning, he started with a man. And what do we see? We see in the very beginning that it wasn't good for man to be what? To be alone. We were made for relationships. We were made for community. And we see that he created woman and he instituted marriage. We see then that he blessed them and he commanded them to be fruitful and multiply. And then there was the family. The family began and then they multiplied. And over time there were societies of people and that were established and continued to grow. And then we see that there's a covenant through a man named Abraham that he said that I am going to multiply you into a great people of God. God's been building a community of people since the beginning. And then we see that God fulfilled his covenant, and through Moses he rescued those people out of Egypt. And then so in Exodus we see that, and then he ordained and made a covenant with this people called the Israelites. And they were a people of God. And he said, I will make my dwelling among you, and my soul will not reject you. I will walk among you and be your God, and you shall be my people. Then we see in Exodus, we see in Leviticus, we see a certain measurements of something that Moses made, and all the people came together. And that is, well, that's another sermon. But we see where the people came together and they built a tabernacle before the Lord. And we see that God dwelled with them in the tabernacle. And later on, we see that he dwelled with them in the temple. I tell you, there was covenant. There was community, and there was faithfulness, and there was God working in their midst. And then, of course, we know that unfortunately that didn't last long. The people broke the covenant. They did not follow the things that God had told them to do, and the people as a society began to deteriorate, and we know eventually that the kingdom split, and we know that Israel went into captivity, and later Judah would follow into Babylon. And the Assyrians took the Israelites into captivity, and then the Babylonians took Judah. But God, in the midst of this, in the midst of judgment, we see that God was bringing promise, and he was promising them a new covenant that would come, and where he said that his law would be within them, and it would be written on their heart, and that they would be, that he would be their God, and they shall be his people. It's the story that we see all throughout Scripture. It's the big idea, it's the main thing of God creating a people for himself, a community that is connected through covenant. And he said, we see in 2 Peter, or 1 Peter 2, and we're not going to look at that right now, but he said that these people would be called a chosen people. A chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession. And so in this new covenant, we know that would be made through Jesus Christ, the perfect man, the perfect priest, the perfect sacrifice, the Son of God, who is motivated by love to be sent on our behalf to take our sin, to redeem us, and to bring forgiveness to the world through faith in Jesus Christ. The purpose of this new covenant was to continue to develop a people of God in covenant community. And Jesus called this people his church. Called these people his church. And the foundation of the church would be faith in Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. And we see here that he would change their hearts, he would change their lives, he would change their marriages, he would change their families, he would change their churches and their communities, and he would change, ultimately, society. And that's where we find ourselves in Acts 2. As I've already mentioned, the gospel was preached, and the Old Testament prophecies were proclaimed, and the testimony of Jesus was shared with the people, and their lives were changed, and there's a community that has developed out of this, and we see that in Acts 2. We see it even a little bit more throughout the whole book of Acts, and after Acts 4, after the prayer and the foundation was shaken, there's just more of this community all through there, like no other, a people of God, a chosen people that he was building through faith. We see all that what we just read during the prayer of confession time. We see that they were devoted to the teaching of God's word, not only to understand it, but also to apply it and to live it. We see that they were devoted to fellowship, and that was so much more than just a pizza party. It was life. Life. They were devoted to the remembrance of Christ through the breaking of bread and through prayer, through communion. We see that they were devoted to prayer, and it says that there was a sense of awe. Why? Because the people were awesome? No, because God was in their midst. And we see that there was wonders and signs through the apostles. And it said that they had everything in common. Why? Because there was unity, there was love, there was trust, and when there was a stumble, there was forgiveness. And then we see that they were making sacrifices for one another, and every need was met. Well, there was unity of worship. There was a joyful sharing of meals with one another. From house to house, we just read. They praised God together, and we see that they had favor together, and the result of that was God was adding people to their numbers daily. Those are people who are being saved. And so we see again, just like we saw in the Old Testament with the Israelites, we see with his church that there was covenant, there was community, and there was faithfulness, and there was God working in their midst. And so we see this is God's intention for God's new covenant, for even his old covenant. This was the intention to build a community of people for himself. Again, we know it today as his church, and we are to continue until Jesus Christ returns. But what is, it just seems like in all things, just like as we have seen in the Old Testament, there is a tendency for man to fall away, for man just to not really fall away. There's more of a fading away. So what has happened? We are called to live authentically and interdependently with one another in biblical community, but very rarely do we see the effects of an Acts 2 that we see in our churches today. We see things that may look like it, but very rarely do we see the all of God working in our midst that we see here. We see a very weak presence as a whole in our current covenant communities of Christ. We rarely see the results of God's presence and work. Are we okay with that? When we see what God created us to be and what God desires, and we've come away from that. So what is the problem? I think first in our culture, the problem is isolation versus community. Isolation, these days we have really become an individualistic culture. We rely on ourselves. We got to pull ourselves up by our own bootstraps, right? But in the church, this concept of being individuals, it really leads to disconnectedness, and we come in and we're struggling in life. Life can be hard. There are good days, sure, but we're struggling in different ways, and we walk into this place and life is great, life is grand. We put on these masks and live like everything, act like everything's okay when it's really not okay. We have this concept that's been taught from us from generation to generation that really just began back in the pioneer days, that we got to put on our Sunday best. Why? To hide our Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday through Saturday worst. And when God looks at our heart, we come in all dolled up, but inside we're dying. But we've been built for covenant. We've been built for community with one another. And we rarely see it exhibited in our lives. We blame it on busyness. We blame it on time pressure, on economic hard times, and really it may be materialistic good times. And the pursuit of that is more of a problem. We know that our technology, it isolates TV, social media. Not that those things have to be bad things, but they develop into that. But we see that individualism, regardless of our reality and the things that we struggle with in our culture, individualism and doing life on our own is not a part of God's design. It's not a part of God's design. And where it exists, he is not going to be working in the midst of it. we see that God, I mean, consider God even in the beginning, what we know about God is triune nature. He's community within himself as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And then when he created us in his image. And then right in the beginning, he said it's not good for us to be alone. Scripture all the way through it, from Genesis to Revelation, is about community, about one anotherness. That's why I asked you to read those scriptures this week. But we see that God is rarely going to work in our own isolation. And now I'm not talking about the isolated works of sanctification. He is going to do work in my life. He is going to do work in your life. And that's called sanctification. And that sanctification, it benefits the whole. It benefits the whole. But as a community of people, if we continue in isolation, then God is not going to work in the way that we see that he can work. Tell you, everything hybrid. What's hybrid? Hybrid is something, taking something that God has made and doing a man twist to it. Tell you, something that is hybrid, living as a hybrid people of God, always leads to lack of multiplication. And something hybrid, I say always, I would say that everything hybrid looks good, but very rarely multiplies. Oh, we haven't been called to be a covenant of people to look good, but not live life together. There's more to the problem. Proximity versus community. And what am I talking about? If you're in your Sunday school books this week, as you read, you'll see it talks about the redwoods. And it talks about their roots. And if you go ahead and go to those pictures. And the thing about the redwood, if you know the redwood, it's over 300 feet tall. And that means if you laid it over a football field, it would be hanging off of both ends. And you can hide a school bus behind some of them because they're so big. And so here's these massive trees, and the reality is their root system only goes out about 150 feet and about 12 feet deep. And so if they were in a field by themselves, it wouldn't take much of a wind to blow them down. But we see that they are so interconnected, interdependent, that when strain comes against one, the connection of the other one also holds it up. If there's a strain on this one, then there's a strain on the other one, helps hold it. It's a community of trees. We just see those roots. You see the animation. Then we see the reality of different trees. Those aren't redwoods so much, but we just see how the roots are all together and how they support one another. This is what the church has been called to do. The roots give it strength. They are a community of trees. Now imagine trees in a nursery. If you've been to a nursery, kind of like Larry Morris's, you've gone in there and you see hundreds of trees. Hundreds of trees. I don't know who manages these trees. We might need some new ones. Not that I'm going to tear them up. I was afraid of that. It may happen again. Okay. A community of trees are trees where their roots are intertwined. They're intertwined. The wind can blow, and if they were together, they'd be connected. They would help each other out. But what we have, and I believe we have an issue of isolation, but we also have an issue of proximity. That when you go and you can look at a nursery of trees that are all potted, there's no connection to them. They're in proximity. They're next to each other. And our communities of faith, and I'm not, whether it be this church, whether it be another church, if you got a home church, if you're a guest with us somewhere else, it's also often is that we settle for proximity. If the seats are filled, or the more people, the better, right? And so here we have a lot of people just in proximity together, but there is no connection with the next one. So when the wind blows, and Larry, do you ever the wind ever blow at your nursery? Is this common? You go out there and that happens? Yeah, and there's no connection. There's no connection. A covenant community of faith where whenever this happens, there's a connection where that holds the other one up. And sometimes when it does fall, if it does fall, it creates pain. There is suffering. We see in 1 Corinthians 12, it talks about the church, the community called the church. It's like the body, and it says when one part suffers, the whole body suffers. That means when you hurt, we hurt. That means when we pray for somebody like Karen Coyne, knowing the pain that she's going through with her husband at the end of this battle with this disease, it hurts. That means when somebody dies, it hurts. When somebody is diagnosed with cancer, it hurts. When somebody loses their job, it hurts. When somebody can't feed themselves because they're paying for chemotherapy, it hurts. We tell them to go to the food bank on Wednesday. No. No. What we do is that we are interdependent. If they're hurting, we're hurting. And we reach out. Proximity. God has not called us to proximity. He's called us to community. Community that is set up on covenant. So how does covenant, being a part of a covenant community, benefit us? I mean, really, when it comes down to it, we really want to know, well, how does this benefit me? And it's just a reality in our culture. And so how does it affect me? Well, now, number one, it's safer. We're safer together. I mean, imagine if you're in Alaska and you're walking out in the woods and, you know, wolves, bears, different things. You want somebody with you. If you're in battle, if you just have one other guy, you cover all the angles if you're back to back. Battle buddy is what man in the mirror would call it. And you can cover all the angles back to back. We need each other. But the reality is we have a spiritual enemy. When we become followers of Christ, the enemy will come against us. Life will get hard in different ways. We are all in a battle in some way, and we need each other. But when there's community, when there's interdependence, we see that we are safer together. Number two, community is fun. I mean, it's fun. I mean, just think about all the things that they're having meals at each other's house. They're celebrating together. They're worshiping together. They're taking communion together. I mean, they were living life together. It was true fellowship. Life on life type of things. They didn't have the draws that we have. We could share that, and we're so busy, two-income families, this and that, with things that we got to struggle with. But the reality is they made community important. And let me tell you, that whenever there's community happening today in your life, whether it's a Sunday school function, a small group function, a life group function, a youth function, you're getting together, there's very often there's a part that just says, I'd rather not do that today. Whether it's if you even come into worship, that you wake up, man, I know this is good, but I just don't feel like doing it today. There is almost 100% of the time when you push through that and you become a part of that connection, there is a blessing in it. And you leave thinking, man, I'm glad that I was a part of that today. So we see we're safer together. That community is fun. Community fosters love. Proximity, we see what proximity does. There's absolutely no connection whatsoever. And y'all did see these trees before. They were just as ugly before as they were now. And if you donated these trees, I apologize. They've been here a while. I apologize. That was ugly. But community fosters love. When somebody hurts, why do we hurt? Because we love them. Because they're important to us. You're a part of my family. Why do we have life groups? To build greater connections. Because the reality is, psychologically and sociologically, there's no way that we can maintain all the relationships here. There's no way that I can have a relationship with everybody here in a way that is community. Why we're more intimate. But we break down in small groups because there is a greater intimacy there. And we can all know each other, but the more and more we do community together, the more and more those roots begin to grow and grow. So when you fall, when you hurt, when life gets hard, and it will get hard at some point, that we walk through it together and we have no need. Next, we see that community attracts the Holy Spirit. And this, I want to focus on this extensively for just a moment. It attracts the Holy Spirit. What am I talking about here? Exodus 40. If you want to, we're not going to turn there, but I encourage you to write it down, encourage you to read it. In Exodus 40, what we see is at the end of that, the people have come together. It's the people of Israel. There's covenant, there's community, and they were working together, and they made a covenant before God. There's always covenant before God, and they have constructed the tabernacle, which was a timber, also called the tent of meeting, and it was a place that when God would move them, they would all pack it up and they would go, and they would put in the Ark of the what? Covenant, and the Book of the Law. I heard somebody say law. And so they built the tabernacle there, and the result of this was then a cloud, as soon as they put it in. I mean, think of this. They built the tent, the tabernacle, and it had three rooms. The back one was the Holy of Holies, and they take the Ark of the Covenant in. They obeyed every word that the Lord had said, and the result of that, and we find this in Exodus 40, verses 34, will not be on the board, but so write it down. It says, "Then the cloud covered the tent of meeting, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle." And listen to this, verse 35, "Moses could not enter the tent of meeting because the cloud had settled on it, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle." There was covenant, and the covenant almost always begins, always begins with the great commandment, that the Lord, to love the Lord our God with all our heart, that He is one Lord, and to love your neighbor as yourself. And so there was covenant, there was community, there was faithfulness, and there was God working in their midst in miraculous ways. Let's fast forward several hundred years, and we see in 1 Kings 8, we have Solomon, who is now the king. There's a community of people who have made a covenant before the Lord, and they have constructed the temple exactly as the Lord has said. And so now there is a place of worship. There is a place of sacrifice. And it's to house the Ark of the what? And also the Book of the Law. So here we have covenant and God's word in there. And the result of this, you'll find this in 1 Kings 8, verses 10 and 11. It says, "And when the priest withdrew from the holy place, the cloud filled the temple of the Lord, and the priests could not perform their service because of the cloud, for the glory of the Lord filled his temple." Oh, there was covenant, there was community, there was faithfulness, and God was working in their midst. You see, it is there. Let's look at 1 Peter 2:5. On your bulletin it says 2:6. That's because I made an error. But 2:5, 1 Peter 2:5, it says, Peter is talking, and he says, "You also," he's talking to his church, to the persecuted church across this, at this time. He says, "You also," talking again to followers of Christ, the church of Christ, "you also, church, as living stones," he called us living stones, "are being built up as a spiritual house for a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ." So we see here we have a community of people who have made a new covenant with God, and it's through faith in Jesus Christ. And then we see that the people are called living stones, and we just read that because the people are being built up into a spiritual house, and they are a people of worship. And God says in the Old Testament several times, and in the New Testament we read it in several places, "I will put my laws in their minds and inscribe them on their" what? Do you remember? on their hearts. And he says again, he says it again, he's been saying it all through time, and I will be their God, and they will be my what? People. 1 Corinthians 3:16 says, "Do you not know that you are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwells in who? In you, in us." And so where there's covenant, where there's community, there is faithfulness, and God will be working in our midst. Oh, the result. I mean, imagine. Imagine when we move past isolation and proximity, what could happen here is that result of God would be God filling this place, filling us, our hearts, and filling the place where we gathered, and then it's, the pastor could not even finish his sermon because God would be pouring out his Spirit on his people. Can y'all imagine a service where the sermon no longer is important? That's a good service. This happened one time in my life. It happened one time, and the evangelist was preaching, and the Holy Spirit moved in the place like a rushing, blowing wind. The evangelist walked out, and he said, "That was the sermon. If you don't understand what's going on, you need to come up here right now." I mean, it was amazing. God is amazing. Say, when God's power, listen to church, God's power exists in his design. In his design, the design that we see beginning from Genesis 1 and the design that will continue through all eternity that we see in Revelations, that he is building up a people for himself, and the church is the glory of God when we come together in covenant community, and we see that the God's glory inhabits his people. God's glory doesn't merely just inhabit his individuals. We do see that happens, but where God does his greatest work is when his people have come together in an interdependent relationship, a community based on covenant. I tell you, the problem is, we don't know what we're missing. I really believe that. I really believe that we don't know what we're missing, because for generations, we just haven't seen it. We've become more about traditions. It becomes more about buildings and stained glass and furniture and steeples, things that God doesn't even care about, and we make it about so many things. We do not know, because we have not experienced the things that we see in Acts. It doesn't make it wrong. Every problem that we see throughout Scripture, where the people have lost their minds or have not doing the things of God or experiencing the fullness of God, it's always because one generation didn't pass it down to the what? To the next. One generation failed to pass it down, and we see that the covenant that God has made through us all is all in Deuteronomy 6 is to pass it down. To pass it down, and then what we see through the Great Commission, we are people should be passing it down. And so the reason that we can't experience it is because, again, that every time we see a major issue in God's people, it's almost always because one generation failed to pass it down, and change comes when one generation realizes what's going on and says enough, and says, "God, here we are. We need you. We need you, Lord. We see what your word says. We see where we don't line up to it. And Lord, we desire to line up to your word." Change happens when one generation calls out to God. And we have to be that generation that calls out to God and says, "It's enough. What can we do about it?" The answer is found in 1 Peter 2:5 through 10. We don't have the time to go into it. And 1 Corinthians 3:16. So what are you saying? Lonnie, are you hanging, leaving us hanging? Yeah. There will be a part two. It's next week. But we see, I'll give you kind of a preview. what we can do about it is the spiritual sacrifices that Peter writes about in the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. But but the reality is, and you know, I'm not going to just leave you hanging. We're not going to go into that today. But none of this matters. None of this matters if we are not willing to come into a covenant community with Jesus Christ. If we have yet to begin that relationship with Jesus Christ, that covenant isn't there. And so a question that I ask you today is, have you come into a covenant with Jesus Christ where he is your Lord and Savior? He affects your life on Sunday morning all the way through Sunday morning. Yeah, we may struggle on Monday, we may struggle on Friday, but he is the Lord of our life in the Word and in prayer, that we seek that relationship. We will never, ever become the community that God desires for us to be until we are a people who are committed to being in his word and being in prayer each and every day. Friends, just through conversations, through listening, through observation, we are not that people. So have you made that covenant with Jesus Christ? Yeah, maybe you believe, and that's a good thing, but have you come into a covenant with Jesus Christ first through salvation? Do you believe that the Lord, that Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior? That's where covenant begins. Not church membership, not any of that. Not a suit and tie, not whatever you think it is. It's not an offering, and it's definitely not a church building. But have you come into a place where Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior? That's where covenant begins. And then have you come into a place where the covenant is so active in your life that you've made a commitment to him? If today is the day that Jesus is calling you to be your Lord and Savior, I would love to talk to you about that. Don't leave today. Stand now. I encourage you, if Jesus is calling to be your Lord and Savior, just stand now. Just stand now. And then praise the Lord. Maybe you are saved, but you are just uncommitted to what it means. Maybe you're uncommitted to this body. You know what? There's a lot of people that are on membership rolls that are not going to go to heaven. I hope y'all know that, because that doesn't matter. That doesn't matter. But covenant with Christ does matter. Covenant with his church does matter. And so maybe you would consider yourself a member. Maybe you're just an attendee, somebody who just participates. And I want to talk to you that's uncommitted. That you're uncommitted. That you are uncommitted to the things of Christ in your personal life, and you are uncommitted to this body of faith, this community of covenant. You have the covenant. It's in your bulletin. You see, it's 100% scripture. And so, if you, guess what? As an individual stone, if you're a follower of Christ, you are a living stone. But a living stone off by itself, isolated, is rendered useless. You might do good things here, but the power of God, the way that we've seen him in the Old Testament temple, the presence of God, where there's covenant, there's community, there's faithfulness, we see God present, and we see it again in the New Testament through his church. We see now that we are a covenant group of people. If you are a stone that is away from the body, you are not an effective worshiper, an effective stone, because the community of people where we see God's presence. So what I challenge you today, would you be willing to enter into a covenant relationship with this church family? If you've been coming and being a part and haven't connected, if we are not the covenant interdependent body of Christ that we have seen the examples all through scriptures, then God working in our midst is going to be effective, be affected. We see again, going back to 1 Corinthians 12, that he says that we are all members of God's body, and we are all individually part of it. And I just know I messed that up. But where things are missing, we are not effective. If you're thinking, Lord, I want to make a covenant commitment to this body, I invite you to do so. What do we look at? We just talked about roots. Your proximity is powerless. Church, your proximity is powerless. Your presence is useless if you're not connected to God personally. Because if you're not connected to Him personally, you're definitely not connected to Him corporately. If you can't make a covenant community, a commitment to our body, if you're not an effective stone here, you need to be an effective stone somewhere. It's not my word. Well, we've seen the example of it in Christ. If you can put roots down. Put roots down. If you've been a member of this church for however many years and there's no interdependency or connection to anybody else, you simply show up. You might give a tithe. You might not. You sing. You might sing. You might not. You might sing your favorite song, but not your other song. And then you leave before anybody can shake your hand. Friend, you're not a part. You're not a part. Set roots. Set roots. It requires risk. It does require risk. What if I get my feelings hurt? What if people really begin to understand that I'm not who I look like? Well, guess what? I already know you're not who you look like. And how do I know that? Because I got to look at me in the mirror every day, and I know I look better than what I am sometimes. It's the reality of who we are, and it's love that brings us together, and we need to create roots together. We need to create roots together. Will you be willing? And if you are wrestling with this, if you are wrestling with this, and if you're a guest today with us, I'm not trying to put that pressure on you. You got to do, but I invite you definitely. But if you're wrestling, should I make a covenant community or commitment to this body? And you just can't. Let's talk about it. Let's talk about it. Let's get into the Word and see what the Word has to say. Because I tell you what we see when there's covenant community of people and there is faithfulness of that people, we see God working in their midst. And I am hungry to see God working in our midst, and I'm hungry for you to be hungry. Again, will you be, I'm going to wrap up. Maybe you consider yourself a member of the church, but today you realize you are just in proximity rather than in true community. Again, as living stones, proximity looks good. Proximity looks good. I mean, having every chair full looks good. To have proximity, that's going to block y'all. I see. Proximity is good. Proximity is good. It looks good. But we are spiritually lacking. I'm not just talking about us. This is the church across our nation, across our globe. And if you're thinking, Lord, I want to be a greater part. If you're a member of our church, if you're a member of our church and you feel like you've just been a member in proximity, or maybe you don't feel like that way, you just simply feel, Lord, I want to be a greater part. I want to set roots. I'm just ask you to stand. I just want to pray for you. I'm not going to ask you to come forward. But if you want to be a greater part, I ask you to stand. I ask you to stand now. Amen. Amen. I'm going to pray for you, Don. Father in heaven, we come to you in the name of Jesus. I lift up Dawn. Lord, you know what you have put on her heart. And Lord, I pray that you would put on her heart I pray that you'd put on that on everybody else's heart. Lord, that we would be a people who become, that we set roots, that we become a part of the covenant community of faith that you've called us to be. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. As Rhonda and the band is coming, I will be right over here if you would like to have any questions, prayer, or would like to talk about anything. But set roots. We see it in the Word of God. Where there is covenant, where there is community, where there is faithfulness of God's people, we see God working in our midst.